Much love and blessings. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So this is your Chinese Cole. Let's just take a few beautiful breaths. Just taking a few beautiful breaths. Let's just take this opportunity. Just breathe deeply. Really give yourself the chance to breathe. And this isn't a theoretical exercise. This is about actually breathing deeply. So let's just take a few deep, three deep breaths together. Breathing in, all the way in. Filling the lungs. And then when you fall, completely letting go. And breathing all the way out. Breathing in again very deeply. Holding the breath. And then slowly breathing out. And let's just take another deep breath. And breathing out. We're going to take three more. So breathing in very deeply, holding it, then breathing out. I'm going to take three more. Uncross your arms. Uncross your arms. And take three deep breaths. Okay? That's another three. Really deeply breathing all the way in. Because breathing is very important for our well-being. And breathing out. So are you willing to breathe deeply and relax? Are you willing to release any toxicity through the breath? Feeling yourself that beautiful light, that beautiful breath, and feeling all tingly and light as you breathe in and breathe out gently and deeply. One last deep breath. Yeah, while I'm watching you. Excellent. It's just nice to start with a few breaths because otherwise we are breathing shallow, we're not fully present. Yeah, and when you breathe deep, you become conscious, you bring your attention back to yourself, back to your energy field, actually bringing presence to your body and re-empowering yourself. You know, how can we go ahead and change the world if we can't breathe? You know what I mean? Yeah? How can we make a difference in the world if we can't even breathe? Yeah? So let's just start with that breath. So as we go through the call, just have some attention on breathing all the way in, breathing all the way out. I'm really enjoying that. Since we've been training, we're very much excited about the simple things, the basic things. So I'm just going to share a few essential things, and then we can take questions. So if you have any questions right now, by the way, if you have any questions that you have formulated in your mind, go ahead and press *2 or type your question on the webcast, because we've got about an hour and we want to make sure we take all your questions. So if you ask them now, we'll be able to take everyone's questions, feedback, comments, problems, challenges, whatever it is, it's all good. But we want to make sure we can be there for you. And, you know, if you ask your question 1 minute before the end of the call, we won't be able to take it. So please type in your questions or raise your hand in advance. Okay? Yeah, so you just press *2 or type it in the chat. Because we want to hear from you. Yeah, that's what this is all about. So, as I show just a few things, if you have any questions come up, just type them in or raise your hand. And so here's a few reminders. Yeah, a few reminders. First things first, Superhero training is all about experience. It's an experience-based program. Yeah? So we're here to help you have experiences in your life. And everything we share with you, if you apply it, creates an experience. And remember, you don't have to apply every single thing that you've ever learned all at the same time. You really don't need to. All that is important is to start where you are and just do one tiny step. And isn't that nice? You can kind of relax. Yeah? You can chill out and relax. It's just simple things. Simple things. And instead of thinking about it, we experience it. Yeah, isn't that a breakthrough? So this isn't about gathering more information. We've all got too much knowledge. We need to just do simple things. Yeah? That's a big breakthrough. I hope you realize how important that is. Yeah? So, and CBO training is divided up into stages, and each stage is a different experience. It's a different experience. And what we want to avoid doing is rushing through, you know, without experiencing things. You want to slow down and experience one simple thing at a time. There's no rush. So the first experience is just recognizing that we are trapped in madness and recognizing that we need to do something about it. Yeah, that's a huge breakthrough. If you just realize you've got a problem and you want to do something about it, that's huge. Most people haven't even done that yet, yeah? Second stage of studio training is about committing to being connected to a higher power, getting the charge, realizing that you can't do this stuff on your own. You need some help. Yeah, it's a huge experience. Third step in studio training, third stage is creating a daily ritual for yourself, where you actually start experiencing a daily practice that brings you joy. Yeah? And if you have a daily practice that brings you joy, you have a much, much better day than if you don't have one. Yeah? But these are all simple things. I'm not going to tell you all the other stuff, but that's enough. Yeah, most people haven't done those first three things, so we need to start with that. Yeah? And when we experience these experiences, transformations, then we are in a place to go to the next level. And if we haven't done it yet, then we don't have to be guilty about it. You don't have to feel bad. We just have to decide to do one thing. Yeah? Does it make sense? But don't worry about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things. There's no need for any of that. You just focus on the one simple thing in front of you. And that's it. Yeah, one thing. So it's like many missions, yeah? Life is like this big journey, but it's full of many missions along the way. And all you have to do is focus on the next mini mission, the next mini experience. And that's it. Everything else doesn't matter. And once you've done that and had the breakthrough, then you can focus on the next one. Yeah, isn't that nice? Yeah, so it's easy. It's easy. So don't overwhelm yourself. One mini mission at a time.
Let's just take a moment now to reflect. And to just take the opportunity of this space to become aware of our experience. We're so rushed through life with, you know, task after task, appointment after appointment, thing after thing, now more so than ever, that any space that perhaps we used to have collectively in our lives, culture used to be different, even 100 years ago, there was space to reflect from action to action. There wasn't a cell phone, you know, constantly available, even if we did have a few. moments of space, you're able to take it and really take in what is my experience, what was that experience I just had, and actually integrate what we're learning and integrate the lessons on our soul's path. So let's just take a few minutes now. Sometimes these calls are just a huge gift of spaciousness, right? Just a time for you to be with yourself in loving community in a loving space and just simply reflect. So just asking yourself, you know, what am I experiencing? What am I experiencing? And just taking a few moments to just be with that. Something you've experienced, or you're experiencing, or just something you haven't really had the space and the time to just integrate, to just be with, reflect on. It's a very yang culture. It's not much yin time. So what are you learning? What are you being asked to look at? You might even have a pen and some paper, a journal or something nearby. And you could even take the next few moments to just write some things down. What am I experiencing? What am I being asked to look at, to become aware of, to integrate? Perhaps, what am I being called towards? As the summer is coming to a close and we're coming towards fall time, it's very much a time of turning back inside, discovering, recommitting to the true path that's been laid out for you. So whatever it is, just taking note of what comes to mind. And just valuing being in the receptive space of listening. Listening to your inner voice, to your awareness. And you can take the next little while to continue listening. And perhaps if there's anything that has come to mind, sometimes it helps to bring it to the group, to, you know, type it in or raise your hand. Sometimes it helps to gain greater awareness on something by just bringing it to the group field and bringing even greater light and consciousness. And that's really what we're here for. So you can take a moment and just share something that's coming to mind. What are you experiencing? What are you being asked to look at as we transition into this new season? And really, it's seasons within the self we're experiencing. What are you being called towards? And there's no doubt that whatever is surfacing for you is quite likely in some magical way connected to what's surfacing for others here on the call or listening. Our journeys are very unique, and they're also very interconnected. So going ahead and just sharing.
So whatever's coming up, that's right. I mean, we're here. We can talk all day long about all kinds of things, honestly. But we're here for you. So tell us what's going on and how we can be of service. And remember, there's no guilt or shame. A lot of people join CBO training because they've got addictions, drug addictions. We've had people with sex addictions, porn addictions. All kinds of addictions. Yeah, Nick and I have food addictions. Nick and I have personally with drug addictions and other addictions in our lives. You know, we're a screwed up bunch, frankly. Do you know what I mean? And we're coming out of it. And we've done great, you know. But just remember that these are crazy times to deal with. Yeah, this is a very bizarre world. They're more and more intense. And we can hide in our addictions, and we can run away. And that, you know, well, there's a good reason for that. I was working with one of the people I've been working with who was on CBO training. She went through CBO training, one of our CBOs. She was she's been struggling with opiate addiction. She used to have a heroin addiction, and then she got on to leave opiates, and now she's got off opiates. Thanks to the program and personal help, and that she's helping other people. And the reason people get into addictions and behaviors of distraction is because it is difficult to just face our feelings. Yeah? Facing our own feelings can be pretty tough because we can feel anxious, we can feel angry, we can feel overwhelmed, we can feel tired, sick, depressed. You know, there's all these emotions. Yeah, it's a tough one. And there's ultimately nowhere to run, unfortunately. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. And the world just gets to realize what we're dealing with. So on the one hand, we've got all these emotional issues, and then we've got pressures in our life that are unpleasant, yeah? So that's tough to deal with. And then our culture offers us drugs, alcohol, sex, and entertainment as a way of distracting ourselves from our pain. Yeah? And if we go into those things to try and avoid our pain, it doesn't unfortunately get rid of anything, it just distracts us for a while and typically makes it worse. And so what we have to do as superheroes is choose to go down the mountain into our pain, to face it directly and surrender it up to the light. Yeah, so there's nowhere out. There's no other way, actually. There's no other way. And if we do that, and when we do that, then we actually start to clear a lot of this negativity out of our being. We start to let it go. So you have to imagine there's like a stack of karma, a stack of stuff, and we can either run away from it, and then it's still there and it gets worse. Because we can either make the stack a bigger stack of nasty stuff to deal with, it's like a stack of debt. We can either increase our debt, or we can start clearing our debt and becoming free. Yeah? I mean, those are basically our two choices. And what we recommend, obviously, is clearing it all out so that you're free, yeah, and then you don't care about anything because you're liberated, and then you can actually make decisions that empower you. So how do we clear it out? We clear it out, firstly, by admitting to ourselves that there is a big stack of nasty stuff we have to deal with, yeah? Just owning the fact that we have to deal with this. Yeah, so the first thing is just owning it. You know, are you willing to admit there's a problem? Yeah, I mean, it's nothing to be ashamed of. This is a good thing. This is like really, really good news because it's taking responsibility. The first thing is we say, okay, I've got some problems here and I need to deal with it. Yeah, so that's great news. That's step number one. And then once we've done that, then we can move on to step number two, which is choosing to release those negative feelings and hand them over to a higher power. Give them up to the light. Yeah? Now, the ego likes misery. The ego likes having a debt. The ego prefers us to be anxious, angry, stressed, and trapped. It prefers it. It wants you to be poor. The ego wants you to be stressed. It wants you to be in crisis. And it wants you to be overwhelmed. Because the ego within us lives on the juice of negativity. So you might want to write this down so you can remember this. The ego lives on the juice of negativity. So the ego inside of us, when we wake up in the morning, the ego says, I want my breakfast. Yeah? The ego is hungry. So it says, I want my breakfast, and I want negative thoughts, negative feelings, and bad situations. Yeah? This is kind of ridiculous, yeah, but this is what we deal with. So the ego wakes up and says, give me bad news. I want to look at some junk entertainment. I want you to think negative thoughts. I want you to complain about your life. And I want you to have a bad day. Yeah? Why is it people are having bad days when they don't need to? Why is it we're addicted to our cell phones? Why is it that we want to consume nonsense? Why do we have bad conversations with people that make us feel miserable? Because the ego likes it. Yeah, there's a part of us that is addicted to suffering. Yeah? So the ego wakes up and says, give me more and more and more bad stuff right away, first thing in the morning. And what we have to do as superheroes is we have to say, I'm not going to do that. I'm, instead of waking up in crisis, I'm going to wake up a bit earlier, and I'm going to sit down, I'm going to meditate. So meditation isn't a death sentence. Meditation isn't like this terrible thing. It means you sit comfortably or lie down comfortably, and you give up negativity to God, and you receive light. So it's a really a beautiful opportunity to be liberated, to feel peace, to feel grace, to be free, to kind of clear it out, to feel light in the mind. Yeah. I've been doing meditation for 20 years, and it's changed my life, saved my life. Yeah, and it's not that I'm a special person. Yeah, one of the things that we want to remind you about again and again, CBO training, is practice makes perfect. It sounds cheesy, but it's true. Practice makes perfect. There's no special people in the world. There's no geniuses, and there's no special people. All there is practiced people and non-practiced people. That's the only difference. And anyone can choose to practice and become whatever they want. But you can decide, you know what, I'm going to actually get up in the morning tomorrow and practice letting go. And if this is in any way confusing to you, you just have to let us know about it, and we'll help you. Yeah, we'll help you out. We'll give you personal support to help you do it. Yeah, so we're here to help. But if there's any confusion, I just wanted this to be very clear with everyone. If you're confused or overwhelmed or worried or anything, please email us, tell us, so we can help you. Yeah, come talk to us on the calls. Otherwise, we don't know what's going on. Yeah, we're here for you. But if we don't know what's going on, then we can't help you. So please talk to us, yeah? So you can wake up in the morning and you say, I am going to choose to have a great morning. And you can have one, yeah? You can choose to get up earlier. I'll give you a little story, a personal story about something happened to me yesterday. Yeah, about why I didn't get up. And I did get up early this morning. I always get up early. But one of the reasons we don't get up early in the morning is because we go to bed later than we need to. Yeah. So if you're wondering, well, I haven't been getting up early because you're tired or because of something, here's something you can do to start getting up earlier. Yeah. You want to know what it is? You want to know how to get up earlier? Yeah. So I'll give you an example. I did a meditation yesterday, which was the best ever, and I really enjoy it. So and by the way, if you don't know about it, I'm doing guided meditations that you can join for free every day at 7 o'clock Pacific time. Yeah? Best ever. I love it. Other people love it. You might as well come on the call. And same, you even got the numbers. Same number you phoned in with here, yeah? So you can come on. And what I noticed is that after the meditation, it's just so much peace that I could easily just stand up and just go to bed. Right? I'm going to reveal madness that I have. You want to know Brother Michael's madness? Yeah? Everyone wants to know Michael's madness for me. So I had the great meditation. It was really powerful. I really enjoyed it. And then it was 8 o'clock. When it finished, and I was like, well, I had a call beforehand, I had something else, so I hadn't eaten much, right? So I got up, and I was like, well, I probably should have something to eat before I go to bed, even though it was late. So I had some vegetables, yeah, which is all healthy. and then I was still hungry, and I opened the covers, yeah, and I was like, oh, there's a bag of chips up there, yeah? I'm like, well, I'm still hungry, I might as well crack them open. So I pretty much polished Jackson's Honest potato chips, pretty much the whole, not the whole bag, almost the whole bag. It was pretty close. I looked on the back and I'm like, oh my God, that's like 700 calories or something ridiculous, you know. And then I was sort of spaced out a little bit, so I had all these chips. So I sat down and like checked out some nonsense on my iPhone, yeah. Spacing out some random news, what Donald Trump's been doing lately or something, yeah. Doing some nonsense, yeah. Because, you know, it's like, right, I need to sort of digest this. I'm not quite ready to go to bed yet. And then, because I'd had all these chips, and I'd watched some nonsense on my phone, I lay in bed, and sometimes when I'm in bed, I don't know what it is, whether it's the weather or something I've eaten, my feet feel hot. I don't know if anyone else has that, where you feel hot feet. I think I had a shower and I'm like, felt too hot. And when you're hot, you kind of go to sleep. Yeah? I don't know if anyone else has that problem, but sometimes if the body's hot, you can't sleep. So I'm lying in bed, having had a whole bag of potato chips, yeah? My feet are really, really hot, yeah? And I'm like tossing and turning, and I'm half falling asleep, half waking up. Do you know what I mean? And then I remember waking up, and because I'd eaten too many potato chips, like I had to like drink loads of water because of all that salt, you know. And I remember waking up looking at the clock, and I'm like, oh my God, it's like 10:30, and I was trying to get to bed at 8. You know what I mean, it was 2.5 hours late already. Probably didn't go to bed till 11. I still felt charged. I mean, honestly, I felt a lot of energy. I was still stoked, but I was definitely stoked and bloated with hot feet, you know. And, but didn't wake up. And then I woke up in the morning at 4 o'clock. I don't know when my phone goes off, but, like, I spaced out a little bit because I had, like, a chip overdose, you know, still digesting my potato chips on the night before. And so I didn't get out of bed till 5. Half 4 or something. And you might think, well, 5:30, you know, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, you know, what's the big deal, you know? But to me, that's a bit slack, you know? And I was still spaced out digesting my food, so then I went back to bed after I got up, you know, for another 40 minutes. And then I thought, screw this, and I went for a walk in nature, you know? And I thought, I actually digested my food by the time I got back at 9 o'clock. So, do you know what I mean? I'm just sharing this vulnerably with you. You know, this is the sort of stuff that we deal with, yeah? So what I could have done, and I imagine I'm not the only person who has these weird effects, yeah? I'm just telling you so you realize we have the same sort of problems that you do, yeah? But there's a moment that we all have where we can make a choice. Am I going to eat the chips or am I going to go to bed? Do you know what I mean? And, so a couple of things I've learned, you know, and by the way, I don't always have a bag of chips every night, you know, this isn't like an addiction I have, but like it comes up, random sabotage, stuff like that, yeah. All this talk about potato chips is making me hungry, actually. You know, if you talk about it long enough, like where are those chips? Just finish them off. But, so we have to laugh at ourselves, yeah, see it as kind of humorous. So there's a moment where we can say, I could eat this whole bag of chips, or I could go to bed. Yeah? I could find out the latest nonsense on YouTube, on news, or whatever it is. Or I could go to bed. Yeah? And that's the choice. That's the choice for us to make. Are we going to do what's good for us, or not? And if we go to bed early, we can get up early. And if we get up early, then the best thing I suggest you to do is listen to one of our meditations in the morning. It's pretty easy. I mean, all you got to do is a website, download it onto your computer. It doesn't take very long. It takes maybe 5 minutes. Download all the meditations. If you don't know where they are, ask us. We'll tell you. There's tons of them. And then once you've got, and then you put them on your phone. Everyone's got a phone. I bet you've got an iPhone or Android or whatever it is. But then in your playlist, you can have a whole playlist full of meditations, yeah? And then you wake up in the morning, you put on your headphones, or you don't even need headphones, and then you just press play. And you sit in a comfy chair, listen to the meditation, breathe. And then after that, you can go for a walk, you can do some yoga, you know, you can have breakfast. Or if you, some people prefer to like do exercise first, yeah, and then meditate after. That's fine as well. There's nothing wrong with that. That's perfectly fine. But if you do these simple things every day, you set yourself up for success. And then everything starts to become easier, yeah? But it's the simple things that make the difference.
I guess we're on the topic of morning routine or morning meditation. Yes. Michael's right, evening just as significant to our morning success and rejuvenation. And I think one of the key things with meditation and the evening and the morning is two things. One, being persistent, and two, being compassionate. So persistent because there will be times, there will be evenings, like Michael just shared, when there's a sabotage or something happens and your evening is kind of messed up and maybe your morning's not as good. So just not giving up and literally just sticking with it. And even if it starts as meditation that turns into like dozing off into sleep, that's okay. Just get up the next morning and you're establishing a new habit, and that's significant in itself. Even if you feel some mornings your meditation isn't very clear. And the second thing is compassion. If we're too rigid and dogmatic in a sense with ourselves, every time we make a little mistake or every time something doesn't go totally right or we're having trouble getting into a deep space, it's really not ever going to serve us. We want to approach our practice with this compassion, with this softness and gentleness with ourselves, but also persistence, so that superhero energy really comes with that persistence and that dedication. But the heart of a superhero is soft, is true, is compassionate, it's not hardened. So we want to let compassion flow from our hearts very naturally for ourselves and for others. So, two things to remember. And we have a question, and I just want to say real quick, it's funny hearing Michael tell that story because he actually didn't tell me, but I witnessed him doing it. I remember when he was pulling out the bag, and I thought it was quite strange because, you know, it was pretty late. So it's kind of funny when we witness ourselves in unconscious patterns or witness each other, and perhaps the kind thing to do is just remind the other one if we see a friend or a loved one kind of going into a funny pattern. So the funny thing there. So we have Ethan. Thank you for raising your hand. Hi.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
Cool. Well, yeah. I was just going to go back to what you had asked us all about what's coming up for
good.
Us. Like, you know, what are we being asked to do? And the only thing that really came to mind for me was pretty much what I was talking with Michael about last night during my coach call with him. And I feel like given some of the recent circumstances for me, I'm just being asked to really step up my game and get more serious about taking action towards finding a different employment situation for myself. And so I just wanted to share that. I've been serious in my mind about it, but I would say since I've joined the training, you know, I really haven't taken much practical action towards that. I've been doing a lot of the, the internal work.
Inner work. Mm-hmm.
Right. But Michael was emphasizing in our discussion last night that, you know, action is necessary. And if I'm not putting myself out there practically, and the chances are kind of slim, you know, that it's going to happen with some quickness and grace, really. So I just felt like sharing that. And I wanted to ask a question, too, about the journaling practice that is recommended in the training. I before getting into the training, I was not, had never journaled before. And so I got a journal. I got a couple journals, as a matter of fact. And I started off pretty strong with it and was following sort of the protocol that was laid out in session one, I believe, with take a page in front of a blank page in the morning, list of gratitude, things that you're grateful for, and then in the evening on the backside, a reflection of what you feel you did well throughout the day, and then what you could do better the following day. And so I was kind of following that format for a while, and lately I kind of fell off of it, and I haven't actually done a journal entry for a while now, but all this time that I was doing it, for some reason I just didn't really feel like I was getting the real juice out of it, and I see the practicality of it and the benefit. I know that there's benefit in it for me, and maybe not as much as there would be for some other people, but I don't know if there's any advice that you could give me in that direction, but I wanted to kind of bring that up as well. It's not necessarily a question, but
that's a good question. First of all, for your what life is calling you to do and finding a job, yeah, that sounds so clear. And I think doing the inner work you've been doing has been important as a prerequisite, because ultimately that's going to guide you to a more fulfilling experience anyway, you know, in the next job you go for. And just see, as you look at opportunities, you know, what, two things. First of all, what sparks joy? Just when you see an opportunity, what kind of, you know, do you feel a charge on? Those are probably more the things to look into. And even if you're not sure what it is, in your meditation practice in the morning or the evening, even just spending a few moments feeling how you want to feel in your work, even if it's not a conscious kind of conception of what it is, but just the feeling, you might really feel empowered and alive and, you know, excited or fulfilled, or these different aspects of being. To just tune in with that, there's a great story, actually. Someone who just recently started working with us on our team is really great. I'm sure you guys will hear from him. His name's Paul. He was telling me how his brother was stocking yogurt containers at Walmart or something like that. And he didn't really know what he wanted to do, had a sense he was interested in art and visual, and he would just feel how he wanted to feel in his work and his life. And I think for him it was excited and part of something big, and like he was really sharing on a big level. And as he was feeling those feelings, visualization started coming, he started kind of getting clearer and then moving in a direction. And I think within a year, it was remarkable, he's now doing like the visual artwork on big screens for a huge concert, you know, and like traveling the world. And I mean, this just started as, I think, a feeling, you know, and an openness to something more. So you might want to try that and see where it takes you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Michael suggested that I spend at least 5 to 10 minutes a day doing that.
Perfect. Oh, that's great. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a great story. Thanks for sharing that. I would love to have a similar thing happen to me, because I don't know. Sometimes I feel like the things that really interests me in life in terms of passion with creativity and stuff. I just maybe have a lack of confidence in myself because I don't have a degree for these sort of things. Like, for instance, just for a quick example, I, for a really long time, wanted to have something to do with editing video and, like, video cinematography art. And I put a lot of time and effort into teaching myself how to do that. This was over the span of maybe 8 years, and I kind of drifted off that path. The last time I did some serious video editing was in 2011, so it's been like 5 years now. Anyway, I'd spent a good amount of time teaching myself, learning how to do this. I didn't go to school for it at all, and I developed a certain level of skill with it, but because opportunities, I guess maybe I never really sought out the opportunities to continue doing that work in a paid circumstance. I did do some paid work with that sort of thing, but I just never pursued it with a full heart, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, do you like doing it? Video editing?
I've become less interested in it, I have to say, in the last 5-6 years. The one thing, I love doing it. I love being creative, mostly just with music. I like piecing together imagery with music. Something about that I really like, and my mind is always coming up with images. A lot of the time when I'm listening to music, that's what's happening. I'm like creating and imagining, you know, imagery stitched together to that music, whatever it is I'm listening to. And so I really like doing that. One thing I don't like is sitting at the computer for hours and hours and hours, because that's what it involves, you know.
It's true, yeah. But it sounds like you could be good at music videos.
Yeah, there was a time when that's what I kind of wanted to do, is create music videos.
Yeah, well, you know, like we talked yesterday briefly and about your various things, and you could look for some, see if there's any editing jobs. You could do that from home, as long as you download files. You don't have to be anywhere, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Give it a shot, you know.
Yep.
So, yeah, and why not? I mean, it's like, there's so many options for everyone.
You don't have a degree.
You don't need a degree. I mean, the only thing anyone is interested in is, are you going to get at it?
Yep. Exactly, and where's the evidence
exactly.
of that?
Yeah, exactly. I was, and just back to the same person, I was talking to Paul, or, you know, talking about his brother, he was telling me the story, and he was saying how he was at an event, and I think it was like Tony Robbins or something, and he said, you know, how many of you here in the room are millionaires? And there's people who put up their hand, and they said, okay, how many of you you know, dropped out of college and didn't get a degree, and like most all of them raised their hands, you know. So it's really not a requirement. It's more a skill and a passion that you hone that speaks for itself, you know. It doesn't need some sort of certificate necessarily for, just a desire and, you know, joy doing it. So maybe just to experiment with yourself, you could even see if there's like a small video editing job, you know, nothing like that's a huge commitment, and see if you like it. I mean, you could even maybe put an ad on Fiverr or something. If you're familiar with what Fiverr is, it's, are you familiar with Fiverr?
No, I've never heard of it.
Okay. So it's pretty cool. It's a website where people advertise their services, and it could be like a really small video editing job, or people do like editing of books or book design covers or little jobs. And it might sound kind of crazy, but it's like only for $5. So a lot of people go on Fiverr to find a small job they want done. And it's also, I think, a platform, though, to develop skill and see if you really enjoy doing something on the side. So that's just an idea, you know, something to try out even while you're still working to see if it lights you up, you know, if there's a passion for it. And then you can seek out some serious jobs in that area if it does.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah, so stay with that and see if there's some jobs you can get that give you the chance to feel it out, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I'll keep that in mind when I'm doing my job searches. I'll kind of broaden the scope to include that.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, just keep looking. 100 jobs, that was the mission I gave you yesterday. it's a big number, but I think the reason I said that is not just to freak you out. It's to just to help you see what's going on around you. Yeah. If I said look for one job, you're like, oh, I don't know, but I said 100. Then you're like, all right, but I have to kind of like expand this sort of radius of your awareness, you know? Do you know what I mean? Just the idea of looking for 100 jobs makes your kind of like awareness of what's possible 50 times bigger. You know, you're like, all right, well. And all sorts of stuff starts to open up beyond your normal consciousness. And there might be tons and tons of editing. There's bound to be loads of editing jobs that don't require you going anywhere, because as long as you can download the files. I mean, we've been sending stuff off to different countries to get edited, and you upload it to somewhere, and then they download it, and then they fiddle around with it, and then they upload the final file. Do you know what I mean? You don't even need to go anywhere for it.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you have fast internet, it doesn't matter, you know? Just boom, 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 and get on with it. And, so I'm saying there's endless, endless, endless opportunities in your virtual reality. There's literally endless. And then in your physical reality, within a certain distance of travel, there's tons of opportunities as well. So, I'm excited to hear the latest. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm definitely going to start taking the steps that I need to take this week to get prepared for searching in the jobs in my area. Just start.
Awesome.
I've got to update my resume first things first. That's got to happen to include all the details of my current job. And that's going to be a big step, because there's so much that I do at this place. There's so much I'm responsible for, and in a good way, there's so much more experience that I've gained from this current job. But ideally, I would like to find something that's different. I would potentially take another job doing something similar somewhere else if the work environment was better and, you know, things were just more appealing to me in ways, but yeah, like I said, ideally something different would be preferred.
Yeah, and that's great. That's exciting. And also, even so, the skills you've learned on an inner level, and even your organizational skills, you know, time management, responsibility, these are things that can certainly carry over anyway. So.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And the more you apply to things, the more you fill in things, the more clarity you'll get about what you want, what's available. And I'll give you a tip. It's something I learned from, I don't know where I learned this, but when it comes to job applications, apparently if you add a negative admission about yourself, a damaging admission, they're called, you're more likely to get a job. So, for example, if you say, I'm good at this, but I'm not good at this, and you're just honest, or like, I don't like, you know, say, working with lots of people, or you say something about you that is true and damaging of you, you'll actually more likely get the job than someone else. Because when people are reading these things, if they got two people to choose from, right, and one of them says, I'm perfect, and the other one says, I'm perfect, apart from this and this, but otherwise I'm great, who do you trust more?
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Do you trust the one who told you that they got some problems, because you know that they're not lying, because they know the other person's lying, and no one's perfect.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? You know, so you just tell them, look, I sometimes get like overwhelmed when there's too much going on. Or Jimmy, something that's not like terrible, but it's just like honest, and everyone has it. Like, well, yeah, I mean, the person reading it's like, well, I feel like that as well. I mean, do you see what I mean? They're more likely to take you seriously. So that's just one little thing you can add when you're filling these things in.
Yeah, that's great.
And you know, you'll get a sense of it. But there's many benefits in this. One is that you see a bigger picture. Secondly, you start moving forward in that direction. So you're like putting your feet in a new place. And thirdly, you can find out what you want, what you don't want. And fourthly, you're going to get a new job. You know. That's the best thing ever. And it really just starts by looking and then applying. It doesn't matter if you don't get all the jobs. You don't want all the jobs. And also, someone who has a job is much more likely to get another job than someone who doesn't have a job. So if you're already employed looking for a job, they're much more likely to employ you than if you're unemployed.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Because,
yeah, that same thing.
You know, yeah, because they're like, well, he's already okay, so he's obviously, he's not like an unemployable person. He's an employed person who wants better. So you're in a good place to do it, but you don't need it. You're doing it with a sense of fun and lightness. You're being honest, and you're just having fun. And you might end up with all sorts of cool opportunities that you can't even imagine right now. Yeah. Well, I'm very excited for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you had a question about the journal exercises. I'll let Michael speak on that as well. I agree, though. I think that we are all unique, and we can work better with certain journal exercises than others, and maybe some at different times in our lives. So I think it's okay to experiment. You know, for example, for myself, I guess I've always really preferred this. I really just like writing letters to a higher power, and that's pretty much the extent of my journaling. Just kind of writing letters, just writing like what's going on or things I'm pondering or things I'm, you know, interested in having more clarity on, and then just waiting a moment and then just letting a response come through. And for me, I really love that method of journaling, kind of like conversations with God. And that's great. And I think that it's okay for you to find a journaling method that works best for you, because ultimately it's for you, and you have to feel connected to it for it to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Do you have anything to say, Michael?
Yeah, the main thing of the evening is just looking at what's going on in your life, so you don't allow... what we want to avoid is being stuck in a rut and just repeating ourselves over and over again. So the whole point of journaling is to reflect on, to first see it on paper, what is actually going on, what's working, and what isn't working. And then the big thing is to make a commitment to do something different. Because what most people do is they're in a hypnotic trance all day long, and then they go to sleep, and they wake up in a trance, and they just carry on, and it's just the same thing over and over again. But what we want to do is break the trance. Say, hang on, stop. What's the point of all this stuff? What am I doing? Why am I doing it? Is this working out for me? And if it isn't, then what am I going to have to do to change it? So we have a good look, and we face ourselves, we confront ourselves, and that's really what it takes to be a superhero, is being willing to face ourselves and face our life. And if something isn't working out, we don't just say, oh, well, never mind. We say, all right, what do I need to change? What needs to be different? So I need to think about this situation differently. Do I need to eat differently? Do I need to go to bed differently? Do I need to talk to a person differently? Do I need to change jobs? Do I need to abandon a whole thing I've been doing? Do I need to move to a different place? I mean, there's so many things. But if we don't look at it, we don't see it. And if we don't see it, we can't really do anything. And then years go by and nothing changes. So the whole point of all this stuff is that we get to see and experience what's going on, have reflection. Because Socrates said, you know, thousands of years ago, an unexamined life is not worth living. And so journaling really is just having an examined life, looking at your life from a detached place and pondering on what is going on, what's the point of it all, and gaining insights and awareness. And then making the big commitment to do something about it. Yeah? But positive change doesn't happen without insight. So journaling, you could replace the word journaling with insight or awareness, self-reflection, awareness, self-awareness. Journaling could just be random, you know, oh, journaling, but you know, like journaling traditionally, normally what comes to mind when I think of journaling is teenagers, teenage girls. You know, I've got a crush on this boy. He's so mad. Oh, he's like,
diary.
He looks at me today. I think he liked my socks. Journaling, that sort of thing. That's not what we were talking about here, you know. But it has that kind of connotation to Bridget Jones' Diary. You know, it's not that kind of thing. What we're saying is, what is the point of my life? What's going on really? Why is it really going on? What am I going to do about it? You know, that's facing ourselves and going to the next level. So, yeah, it's a fascinating thing.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you for sharing that. I feel like I've heard you mention that before, the element of reflection within the journaling practice is what really provides a lot of power for us in our lives, allows us to be able to see what's working and what isn't and take action accordingly to that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the essence, and then you can flow with it really in any format, essentially, that works for you, you know, that helps you have that self-reflection.
Yeah, cool. Well, yeah. I took some notes on all that to help remind me of these things if I ever forget.
Awesome. Well, thanks for asking your question and just sharing, Ethan. I know that it has helped and will help people listening. So thank you.
Yeah, I hope so. I definitely hope that that's helpful to some other people out there listening to this.
I think it definitely is. Yeah.
Good.
Wonderful.
I have one more quick question, if that's possible. It should be quick. It's a one or the other type of thing. And Michael, so I took action last night, got your book that you suggested I read, The Path to Freedom.
Okay.
Now, and I also had already bought the David Hawkins book, Letting Go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, which one of those do you recommend that I read first? Because, I mean, I could go back and forth between the two, but more often I'm the kind of guy that likes to focus on one. If I'm going to read a book, I like to just read that one book until I'm done with it, type of thing. So what do you suggest?
What's more important to you at this point? Do you want to claim back more time, or do you want to practice letting go of negative feelings?
Well, if you put it that way, I think claiming back the time is maybe more of a priority right now, because I don't...
Yeah.
And I can do both at the same time, I guess. But, yeah, reading... I've already got some tools that I can use to let go, so...
So I recommend then reading The Path to Freedom, and read it with the intention of applying it.
Yeah.
You know, rather than just reading it. And I mean obviously that's always the case with the book, but I'm just reminding you of that. And not everything is applicable directly, depending on your situation, but most of it is. So apply everything you can. And anything you come across and you're like, well, I can't do that right now because of these reasons, just put it aside and focus on the things you can. because clarity is there. And I hope, you know, I think what will also come clear is that you'll get more aware of where your power is, where your strengths are, when it comes to your jobs and stuff, by reading that book.
Okay.
There's many benefits, not just time, it's also power. Where's your power? Where's your priority?
Cool.
Where's your power? So, yeah.
And that's important for me right now. Cool.
Yeah. And so that will, and it'll also help you find out where these best jobs are, because it just helps you understand where is the power and where's the waste. And it's fascinating. It's really, really worth reading that book. So read away and let me know what you learn.
Okay. And just so I know, that I kind of did some searching. That's only available on like e-book for Kindle, a dish. Like that's all like you can get it through, right? So there's no hard copies.
Not at the moment. Yeah, it's going to be an e-book, an audio book, and a hardback. But I wanted to change something on it, and then I'll make it a hardback. But basically, it's fine. You'll be all right. So I'm afraid you can't have a physical copy quite yet, but I'm sure you can manage.
That's all right. Well, I'll just look forward to the update. And I really like audiobooks. That's been very helpful for me lately because I've got tons of books, and making time to read has been a challenge for me. I need to make that a huge priority, and just in the evening for 30 minutes before I go to bed or something. I've got tons of books that I've been meaning to read for a long time, and it's just been kind of sitting because I haven't made the time to start reading and make it consistent. So.
Yeah, well, just read that one book, and that will create time for other books. And And if I get the audio done, the audio book done, commission someone, I'll let you know. But I wouldn't wait around for that right now. I might as well just start reading it.
I'm just going to start reading it. Definitely, I paid for it last night. I'm going to get on it. So
awesome! You'll enjoy it.
Awesome.
That's great.
Yeah.
Love. Well, thanks, Ethan, and keep us posted.
Yeah, thank you guys. I really appreciate it. Much love to you both and everybody else out there listening to this.
You're welcome. Much love to you.
Aloha.
Yes, brother. Much love. Yeah, we're excited for your latest and greatest. So, congratulations, everyone. Well done for being here, part of the family. And for those of you who have, haven't talked to us, we love you. And we look forward to hearing from you next time. And just to recap, you know, keep it simple. Just focus on one thing and get the experience. Yeah, so there's so many things, but focus on one powerful thing. And that's enough. Yeah, you don't need thousands of things, just one thing. Like Ethan, he's reading that book, and he's going to learn some stuff there, and he's applying for a job, right? He doesn't need to do 50 things. So it's one thing until it's strong, and then the next thing. That's how we make progress. So if you're all confused, let us know. And if you're all confused, think about where the most potent thing is, the most powerful thing. And just do that one thing for 21 days till it becomes deep. Yeah, so go deep rather than wide. Don't worry about lots and lots of superficial things. Take one thing and go with it until you own it. Yeah? Then you have the power, and then your life actually changes. So it's very, 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 very simple. One simple thing at a time with ease and grace. So Ara was just going to end with a few thoughts, and we will talk to you soon.
Good. So just taking a moment to really breathe in, take a deep breath, breathe in the support, the wisdom, the loving energy, everything that you've received from this call and that's here for you, just really receiving it with the breath. And as you exhale, you just let that integrate even deeper into your being. And even breathing in and integrating the insights that came to you during our reflection period. What is life calling you towards? What are you experiencing? So just breathing in deeper, any wisdom that came through. And as you exhale, just letting yourself relax even deeper and let it integrate even deeper. And as you go into your week, just remember this strength and this support and this community and this experience and this love. And we look forward to connecting with you soon. Many, many blessings. Mm-hmm.